You're about to enter the Switch, Pivot, or Quit live podcast experience. This is our third live podcast where we invite an audience to witness a candid interview with women that have made a switch, pivot, or quit and open up the conversation for Q&A as well as some uplifting sisterhood chat. Now, our space was sponsored this time by The Office, which is an ultra chic co-working space in Berkeley, California. Now, I also love to see women doing and drinking the unexpected. So thank you to Woodford Reserve for providing a room full of goal chasers with the drink of champions, bourbon, of course. And to top off this experience, the host transportation, yes, that's me, my transportation, was provided by Mitsubishi. And on event days, it always requires a vehicle with like ample space so that you can, you know, haul a bunch of stuff, bring everything you need to the venue, all that craziness. And so rolling in this 2018 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport was perfect. And I really, really loved the panoramic roof. Like, I couldn't get enough of this panoramic roof, as well as the color display on the dash that even synced with my home screen of my iPhone. So that was pretty cool too. Now, once we were settled in at the office, I had the pleasure of chatting with Dr. Carrie Schaefer and Keisha Mitchell. Carrie is a licensed clinical psychologist who worked in the field of mental health for over 18 years. She now spends her time as a certified wellness coach with wellnessworthliving.com, where she draws on her many years of clinical training and actively utilizes evidence-based research in positive psychology and motivational interviewing to help her clients achieve real and immediate health and wellness results. Keisha Mitchell is a success coach and a speaker who left behind a career in accounting to create a platform, ElevateYourNow.com, for inspiration that provides tools to help others live life with more purpose, passion, and joy. So let's go ahead and listen into this live chat, which I'm sure you'll enjoy. So welcome officially to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit live podcast experience. I am your host. My name is Ayana Angel. And if you are unfamiliar with the podcast is available on iTunes, and it's the number one podcast in the San Francisco Bay Area for women's empowerment. So as most of you may know, we had a little glitch because an unforeseen circumstance came up, and Kate, who is actually the co-founder of this space, she was going to be who I was going to interview today and have the conversation with. But today we have these amazing women on my left and right who were able to join us at the last minute, and I thank you so much. So a little bit about myself and how this podcast came to be. I'm a former sports entertainment publicist turned traditionally published author who is now hosting this podcast, Switch, Pivot, or Quit. Go figure, because I had my own personal Switch, Pivot, or Quit, and I knew that there were conversations that needed to be had with women who are facing these areas and these changes and these points in life where they're saying, hey, I don't know what's next, but I want to figure it out. And sometimes your peers are not at the same space as you at the same time. So it's hard to have those conversations. So I wanted to create the conversation and have the community behind it where people know that they're not alone in wanting to make a switch, pivot, or quit, and feel powerful in doing it and empowered knowing that other women are doing it as well. So let's go ahead and introduce our panel, or let's just say our intimate conversation. So first to my right, I have Carrie Schaefer of wellnessworthliving.com. And then to my left, I have Keisha Mitchell of ElevateYourNow.com. Both amazing coaches who have a lot of insight. And just get your questions ready, because I feel like we're going to have a good, juicy conversation. And get ready, because I also like to pull you out of your comfort zone as well, okay? So we're going to be talking to them, but we're also going to be talking to you eventually, okay? So is everybody ready? All right, let's get into it. So, ladies, the first thing I want to start off with is, as you know, on this podcast, we talk all about the switch, pivot, or quit experience. So I want to begin with you telling us a little bit about your own switch, pivot, or quit experience. And Keisha, we'll start with you first.
Okay, sure. Well, I am so honored to be on the podcast. I've been following Ayana, and I love it. I'm always listening on my way with my kids somewhere. I would say for my switch, pivot, or quit I've had a lot. I think we've all had a lot of switch pivot quits. But the one that I would say brought me to this moment right now was my mom passing. My mom passed of cancer in a really quick 3-week amount of time. And so at the end of that, I was like, you know, I'm really feeling like life is too short and a little too unexpected to wake up every day and not want to do what I'm doing for the next 8 to 10 hours. And at that time, I was in corporate America in accounting, which I had been doing since I got out of college. I was always good with numbers, knew I was going to go into accounting, but I always wanted my own business. And as a matter of fact, when I interviewed for the position, the CFO asked me, okay, well, where do you see yourself going? You know, where I said, well, I want to own my own business, so I'm going to master everything here so I can be a success. And his face was like, okay, but he hired me anyway, right? Because he's like, well, you got a reason, right, to do good. So I did that for a while and had my kids there. When my mom passed, I just realized, like, no, you know, I have so many things in me, and I've always known I wanted to go out on my own. So I'm going to do it. And it just so happened, the business, it was during the .com whole huge thing, and they ended up getting bought out. And so I was like, yes, I got my severance pay.
Perfect.
I'm starting my business. So that's how I started.
Awesome story. Awesome. Carrie.
Hi. Well, I get the honor of talking about being on the very infancy stage of this journey, because I am relatively new in my pivot. But in general, my story is that I've worked as a psychologist for 18 years in the foster care system and the child welfare system, which has been incredibly meaningful and valuable, and I have never regretted my time in this field. But after working for 18 years, it was really tough work, and I found myself feeling very drained when I would come home, and especially after having my own child and my own family. I was noticing that I was spending 8 to 10 hours a day in work that was taking more from me than I was giving after 18 years. And it occurred to me, similar to what you said, I needed my work to be resourcing. There's only so many hours in a weekend, and I couldn't have my weekend be the time that I fed back to myself. And so I really decided I needed to shift into work that actually fed me while I was doing my work, not just after work hours. And I've always been so passionate about health and wellness. And I realized that I was doing that anyway with the people I was working with, trying to inspire them to be really their best. And I realized, wow, if I could do this all the time and hold myself accountable and hold other people accountable and actually feel like my work was feeding me, I wouldn't feel like I was working. And so about a year and a half ago was when I made that shift. And so I get to talk about being in the new part of the journey and all the scary, exciting parts about that. So I'll wait for the exciting conversations to jump into all the details.
So we'll start with you. Has there been anything during your journey thus far that you realized, wow, I was able to transfer my previous skills into what I'm doing right now, and it's been a great help?
Well, I was about to say that my skills as a psychologist have helped me as a coach, but I actually think it's my skills as a mother that have helped me more than even my 18 years. And I think it's because as a mother, I am always trying to be a model to my daughter. And I realized I wasn't modeling the person that I wanted to be, and I wanted to show my daughter that you can be happy and you can be excited about what you do, and you can do better than you think you can do. And I realized that was something that was really important to me to share with her. One of my big moments was about a year and a half ago, my husband and I decided to take our daughter, who was then 6 years old, we decided to take her backpacking on the John Muir Trail. That's a big, big backpacking trail. It's 220 miles from Yosemite to Mount Whitney, and everybody thought we were crazy to take a six-year-old backpacking for a month, and I thought I was crazy. But when I was there, I realized I had so much more power than I thought I did, and power to dig deep into places I didn't know that I could dig deep into. And that was so meaningful to me, because it made me realize that as far as I thought I could go, I could actually go further. Mm-hmm. And she could go further, and I could inspire her to go even beyond what she thought that she could do. And so that's been something that I have carried with me since I decided to make this leap. It was actually on that journey that I decided not to return to my job and to actually take this leap of faith. Mm-hmm. And so I really would say that that's been one of the pivotal moments for me mm-hmm. in realizing what's possible.
Awesome. Wow.
I'm no outdoorsy girl, but I can only imagine what that was like. Keisha, what about yourself?
So I would say I definitely took my skills with me, everything, you know, from accounting, everything I had learned and from college. But to be honest, I had to unlearn so many things. I feel like once I started my entrepreneurial journey from leaving the corporate world, I had to, like, unlearn putting on that mask and going to work. You know, I was like, oh, wait, I can be myself. I can be myself with my customers, with my vendors, with, you know, the folks that I'm trying to partner with and collab with. I had to unlearn really the idea of, like, putting on your work and then taking it off. I realized, like, once I was doing something I really love, like, from my heart. Now, you do have to realize, like, you can't work till 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I end up doing it. My husband's like, go to bed. But just the idea of being two different people. You know, when you're doing something that you love, it's with you all the time. You know, I'm a coach wherever I go. Now, I try not to coach my friends too often. They're like, Keisha, I want to talk to you as my girl, not as the coach. But so anyway, that was another thing that I had to unlearn, I feel like. I also had to unlearn the idea of really being an employee. One of my first coaches said to me, you have to start making decisions as a CEO and not an employee. And, you know, that sounds cool. I was like, well, that's a nice little quote. But when you really think about it and when you start getting into the relationships that you're in as an entrepreneur, you start realizing, like, wow, like how much you think as a person with someone above you that is handing you a check, you know, that you're clocking in, you're making sure they're not over your shoulder.
Right.
But now you're thinking like a CEO with vision, meaning that you direct where your flow is coming from and you direct the collaborations and the partnerships and when you work and when you don't work. So, yeah, for me, it was unlearning and remembering really who I was.
Do you feel like you're getting into the CEO mindset? Did you have to take some classes? Did you have to do any work to sort of prepare yourself for this CEO mindset? And what does that really look like? Because that's one of those things, right, that it's easy to say, like, oh, get into a CEO mindset. But for those who have not made that transition yet, what does that actually look like? What are the things that I need to be doing or preparing myself for to act in such a way that I will present as a CEO, right?
Yeah, for sure. I would say most of my work came with my coach. That was one of the things. My first business, I was like, you know, I'm a rogue. I'm doing it all alone. You know? Mm-hmm. That was hard. So now I have coaches and I have mentors. And so for her, that was kind of the learning. But she still couldn't tell me when I was on the phone trying to make those decisions. But that's who I got my training from. But I'll just give you a quick example. The first time I realized, and I called my coach like, yeah, I was the CEO today, was I got offered a position to do an MC for an annual fundraiser for an organization, a women's organization that was huge. I was like, yes, you know, it's amazing. My first, you know, time doing that as Elevate Your Now. And they were like, you know, but we don't have any money, you know, so it's got to be for free. Now, the CEO and me, and I'm on the phone, right? And you know how we have like a million things going in our head as we're talking to somebody. The employee in me was like, well, this is a good opportunity. I mean, they want me. I'll do good, and it's okay. I'll get paid the next time. The CEO in me said, "What? Just ask them what they do. What do they get money for?" And so I said, you know, so what do you got? What do you offer the women in your organization? And they said, well, we offer them workshops. Ding! That's how I started, doing workshops. I said, oh, I would love to do this for you if I can throw my hat into the ring for your next series of workshops. She was like, of course. So that, to me, was the first time I was actually thinking like a CEO. I was thinking about the vision of my business, about going forward, about putting money in my pocket and not just, you know, knowing my worth and not just accepting what I was given. Mm-hmm. And so that to me was kind of my first, like a little tidbit of how that looks. Mm-hmm.
So because I know that you're newer on your journey, you might not have had these like CEO moments yet, but do you think that you've had any moments that have put you in a position to think like a CEO?
Yeah, I think I'm developing these moments, but I've recently developed this motto of being bold. And I think that's really where, if I were to think of a CEO moment, you know, it's put yourself out there before you're ready.
Right.
And I think that's been the thing that I've learned the most so far is don't spend so much time on my website. Don't agonize over my business cards that nobody's even going to ask me for because everything's right. on the internet anyway. Just right. do it. And a couple of times I've had the opportunity to just do something. Today, I just got the call 3 hours ago. Mm-hmm. I was just having the conversation with my friend Kelly this morning about, I should start a podcast. Because that's how people get their word out there. And then 5 hours later, I got this call. Oh, somebody canceled. Do you want to be on a podcast? And I think the old me would have said, well, I don't know what to say in a podcast. And then I said, okay, be bold, just do it, just go out there. Maybe you'll meet people, maybe you'll have this great experience. And so I think from a CEO mindset, it's about not waiting until you're ready. Mm-hmm. Because I think what I've experienced is if I wait until everything's perfect, well, it's never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've experienced so far. And so far, every single time I've put myself out there without any kind of trepidation, something has come back. And it might not even be the thing that I'm expecting to come back. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm adopting right now is my motto in this infancy is be bold.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And when Carrie said to me earlier when she came in, she's like, I was just having a conversation about being on a podcast, and I was like, that's the universe. That is the universe at work telling you, yes, it's probably a good idea. Now we're going to give you the introduction to this so you can see it's not this big, bad beast, right? It's approachable. You can do it. Look, you're on a podcast now. And she even said, she's like, I've never done anything like this before. I'm like, well, as of tomorrow, you have now. You know what I mean? You can go and you can say this and you can use this to your benefit. But that's also why it's important for us to be open to experiences, you know, open to new things, open to things that we haven't tried before, and open to people as well. Because sometimes some of the best opportunities will come from the most unexpected places, right? And you're just like, you'll look up and you're like, how did I end up here? Well, you were open, you know, you let things happen. So I can appreciate that. And I'm so, cheers for Carrie. Yes. I love it. So a lot of what we talk about on this podcast is change because making a switch, pivot, or quit is about change. And so many people on face value have this fear of change and there's all this trepidation, like you said, behind it. Do you ladies have any tips for sort of facing change or conquering change, maybe?
It's funny, I always they will tell my clients, like, you know, change, there's always going to be change, but growth is something you choose. Mm. So I think that's kind of the main point. We're always going to be changing. Something is going to happen in our lives, you know, with our relationships, with the economy. That's, you know, one of the ways I got out of my corporate job. I got bought and then the dot-com thing crashed. So it's about choosing, you know, whether or not this is just going to be a change for you or you're going to have growth in this moment. I also think in terms of change, and when I think of, you know, the different businesses that I've had and the change that I've gone through, it's also again, about choosing. I'm like, my clients are like, oh, here we go with choice again, you know. But for me, I feel like choice is God's greatest gift. You know, we have the gift to choose again and again and again every moment. And, you know, I'm also like, when their change happens, like, start deciding, start choosing. You know, maybe it won't go exactly how you want it to go, but the idea of choosing what might happen next lets you kind of corral your power. You know, when change happens, like, our power gets scattered and we're thinking about everything. What about this and the money and our relationships and what am I going to do? Who am I going to be? Who am I now? You know, but when we start deciding, well, we might not have any money right now, but we still have each other. Maybe we can move forward like this. Or, you know, maybe when this company goes over, maybe I can start thinking about that idea that I always thought about. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you don't get to start thinking about that idea for the next year. But that power that's been kind of corralled and gathered just in your heart, that you actually have made that, you know, decision to start thinking there, will like just kind of be the wind underneath your wings, I think.
Well, thank God for change, because if things didn't change, I think that would be worse. And how I think about change, I have a long-standing, or at least I used to, in another life, meditation practice. And one of the things I learned in my practice is this idea of impermanence, that everything that's bad changes, and everything that's good changes too. And so getting used to change is actually a comfort. And when I think about the things that I think the most inspired moments of my life have come from change, and usually really difficult change. And as you said, being open to not knowing, I think that's really been the key for me, is usually with change, it's we don't know what's on the other side. And to not be afraid of that. I think that's something that I've really learned along the way, is to not be afraid of what I don't know, and to not be attached to what I do. Mm-hmm. And so that for me, I think, has been the biggest part in my journey of understanding how valuable change is, and thank God for it.
So I know I used to have these days when I was working in corporate America, and I would just be like, help me, please, somebody, leave me of this situation. Like, I used to just, I lived in New York, and I would walk to the train, and I would just be trying to figure out a way of not being able to go to work. Like, how can I get out of this? You know, what can I do? Because I just didn't want to be there that bad. And I knew that the things that were going to come my way and stuff, I was just like, I don't even want to deal with this stuff. And so I'm sure that my friends got tired of me saying, like, I'm over this. I want to do something else. This is not fulfilling to me. There must be more to life, you know? And that's a part of the reason that I started this podcast, because there's somebody right now who feels the same way, okay? They are going to say that tomorrow morning. So I... right here in the front. I feel you. I feel you. I know exactly where you're coming from. So for the women that feel like that, and for our friends that come to us and say, oh, girl, I'm just so over this, what advice do you have for them to sort of strike out? Maybe it's not entrepreneurship, but it's just mixing up your world and doing something different so that you can potentially be a happier, more fulfilled person. What advice do you give them to say, like, you can do this. It's okay.
Gosh, that's so hard. That's like, it's what people come to me for. Like, my thing is activating your calling, you know? So what is this calling within you?
Well, let's get into it.
So, you know, when I talk to, my folks are powerhouse women, right? So these are the women that are the go-getters. They are the ones that achieve, you know, they're high achievers. And, you know, they're at the top of their field, or maybe not necessarily in their career, but maybe in their family. You know, they're like, I know how to be a wife. I know how to be, you know, a good mom, whatever it is. But I struggle at night. I'm tossing and turning because I have this thing in my heart that won't let me go. You know, I have one client that's like, I want to go to ministerial school. I don't want my own church, but I've always wanted to study theology. And so my, you know, my thing, and one of the things I don't like about my industry is often people will say, quit your job.
Yeah.
Go out there and, you know.
Right.
Which ends up giving us a lot of self-flagellation where we end up beating ourselves up. It actually makes us procrastinate more because then we're so scared, you know, of the unknown and what we're doing. I mean, we don't we'll know what we're going to do. I would say, for one, take care of your foundation. For me, it's about holistic, you know, coaching. And often we want to concentrate on our career or our fitness or our health. And we go after that one goal and we worry, you know, why can't I achieve this? Why is this so hard? And often it's because the other aspects of our life, they're like stepping stones, I feel like. You know, when I take my clients along this journey, we fill out these little stones of how high every aspect of your life is. And I'm like, you might want to get to this thing over here, but you need to step on these other stones. You might need to step on the stone of your relationships and really building love in your life and support in your life. You might need to step on the stones of fitness and health, because how are you even going to be healthy to put in the work that you want to put in this fitness or this new entrepreneurial journey if you don't have your health under control? So for me, it's about understanding and realizing where your foundation is and kind of getting that solid, and then just asking yourself, what do I love? Like, what do I love? We are always asking ourselves what I don't want any more of, what I can't stand, what I'm so tired of. But what do you love? When I'm in a room full of women, it takes a minute for people to be like, oh, well, I can tell you what I don't love. Yes, but what do you love? What do you love to do? Who would you love to be? Like, what would you love to have in your life? So that would be my first question, is start thinking about what you love instead of how much money you want to make, or, you know, how fit you want to be, or what size clothes you want to get into. You know, what do you love?
Well, I was going to say something similar, but maybe not as eloquent. But at the core of my coaching practice is the concept of values, which is similar to what you're talking about. And so I think part of the question is, how do we define success? And so to me, success is about, are we living in conjunction with our values? Because it might be that our version of success is very different from other people's version of success. And so what I would say is, what's been so important to me in my journey and what's at the core of my practice is, understand what matters to you and understand where your values are. Because if you're facing in the direction of your values, then everything that you do is just part of that journey. And so I like to, I do trainings, I do health and wellness trainings for nonprofit mental health organizations. And one of the things that I like to say is that wellness is not a destination, it's a direction. And so are you facing in the right direction? And I think if you're facing in the right direction, then you're on the right track. Then you have success, because then that becomes your bellwether of all the decisions that you make. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've really learned so far in the journey. And what I would say is really one of the most important starting points.
I love that.
Great answers. So I want to find out from you ladies about a little bit about self-care, and I'm sure that you have a lot of experience with this, with wellness and everything on that note. But self-care is one of those things that we sort of overlook sometimes. We get so busy with just the day-to-day and trying to achieve things and being so ambitious. Do you guys have any practices for self-care that you do sort of like routinely to help you sort of stay sane and just give back to yourself?
I do. I'm a kickboxer.
Watch out.
And, you know, it's so funny. I'm the kind of person that, you know, when we watch, my husband and I watch Game of Thrones, and I'm like this, like most of it, you know. Most of it, I'm covering my face because I don't like to see violence. But, baby, give me those gloves on.
Wow.
And, you know, I found, for me, like, one of the things that I teach is are called elevation practices. And it's basically, it's something that you do to move you to that next step when you're like stuck or scared or you just can't like find the courage. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of my elevation practices come in the gym. And so it's good for me to, and I know I have teens. Did I mention I have teens? I have teenagers. So that's the other reason that I go and box in the gym. So I don't have to come home and box. So, you know, those boxing gloves for me are, you know, it's a way to kind of, you know, get out, you know, any everything that's kind of, you know, building up in me. It's a way to just keep me fit, you know, to keep me kind of just sweating and moving and not being in front of my laptop the whole time.
Right.
But it's also a way for me to kind of link my journey in building my leadership and building my practice, because when I'm in the gym and I don't want to do another burpee and then get back up and, you know, box again, or, you know, when I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm looking at the trainer like, eh, no, this, I'm not doing anymore. I can say to myself, you're going to have to get out there and find three more clients, you know, before the end of the quarter to meet your goals. Let's see if you can push yourself to do this next burpee. Because it feels like you have nothing left.
Right.
But then when I get down there, I do it, and I get back up, and I'm out punching. I'm like, well, who knew? Look at that. I actually had it in me. Yeah. And so what that does for me is it allows me to know that, you know, when I'm on the phone or when I'm facing some challenge or I have to do something that I'm scared of doing, you know, I'm nervous, I'm like, I did that burpee. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I had anything left in me, and I did it. So that's self-care for me on a couple of different levels. And I also, I'm growing in that, too. I'm a person that is a night owl, so I work at night. And I know for me, self-care is getting my sleep. And so that's one of my weaknesses, and that's one of the things that I'm constantly, like, literally, I will write it on my planner. Like, you need 6 hours tonight. Okay, now you need 8, you know?
Yeah.
So self-care is also kind of a constant reminder thing. But for me, it's usually fitness.
I love that you asked this question. This is my wheelhouse. This is what gets me really excited. Because when I go in and I do trainings, especially for people working in the social service field, and I talk to them about burnout and vicarious trauma, and they roll their eyes and, oh my God, another self-care training. Show me the day that has 50 hours in it, and I'll do all those things. I'll go and I'll meditate, and I'll do yoga, and I'll go to the gym, and I'll eat healthy. And most people just can't do that. And so what I love to think about when I think about self-care is back to this idea of values. What feeds you? Because where, with limited energy and limited time, where are you going to choose to put it? And I love to hike. I love to backpack. I love to be outdoors and active. But there's only so many hours in the day, and I can't do all those things that I want to do. And so at the end of the day, I have to choose, okay, if I'm gonna put my time and energy somewhere, where does it have to be? And that's when it comes back to my values. And it's, okay, what matters most to me? And sometimes that changes. You know, it might be that as you said, you know, right now my relationship is what needs attention. And so that's where I'm going to choose to put my energy, and that's self-care. Right now my child needs attention. That's where I'm going to put my energy. That's self-care. Because at the end of the day, if I feel good about where I'm spending my time, then I feel like I'm taking care of myself. So when I go into these agencies with people who are exhausted at 8:30 in the morning, I like to do an exercise with them where I have them look at their whole life, look at the wheel of their life, look at their values, and decide, where are you going to spend your time? Where are you going to spend your time today? And is that different from where you're going to spend your time a month from now? Mm-hmm. And you get to choose. And so it's a moving target, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's a moving target based on what's most calling for your attention. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that if we feel like we're spending our time in a way that nourishes us, whatever that is, then it feeds on itself. So I love this question. I love getting people excited when I go into trainings and they think I'm going to teach them about meditation and yoga, and instead I have them writing out their values and their goals and all these things, and they walk away with sort of a picture of what needs attention and what, you know, what they're doing well at. That's the other thing I really like to talk to people about is what's already working. Because sometimes we have these ideas that there's a whole wellness plan out there because somebody else is doing something that we think that we should do. And they've been told that that works, but that doesn't mean that that's our plan. And so I like to also point to people's strengths and say, well, what are you already doing well? Because maybe you just need to do more of that thing. Or maybe you need to acknowledge and appreciate that you're already doing that well, because maybe the missing piece in self-care is not noticing the good when it's actually happening. Mm-hmm. So thank you for this question.
It's
my favorite question.
I love seeing you light up
like that. And you know what? Piggybacking off of the last thing that you said, you know, a lot of us are searching for what's going to be my change, what am I going to do next, all these different questions. But thinking about what she said, what do you do well already? What are your strengths already? Really tap into those and see, okay, how can I take those to the next level? How can I expand on those to make them greater, to make myself greater, to make my situation greater? Because a lot of times we think to make a switch, pivot, or quit, we have to reinvent ourselves. That's not always the answer. Sometimes you don't have to start from scratch, especially if you are, let's say, because I know that there are some people who are so far along in their career that they're thinking, I can't possibly switch things up. I have responsibilities, I have people depending on me, I have all of this tenure in this specific area. So like, how could I possibly do that? Okay, well, start thinking of one thing like you said, what do you value? So do you value spending the rest of your life in this quasi-miserable situation because it's what you've now established for yourself? Or do you value your happiness and maybe trying to find that? There's ways to segue and get out of everything. You just have to be committed to wanting to get out of it or switch things up. You have to be committed to it. And then it's like, do you value your time enough to say, maybe at night when I get home and I'm not so enthusiastic about studying for this course to qualify me for XYZ certification, I still do it anyway because I value this change that I want in my life. So those are some of the things that I had to realize for myself. When I decided that, hey, I don't like where I am anymore, I said, okay, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to change this? And I really, truly did. On that same walk to and from the subway, I would then rack my brain. What's next? What's next? What's next? What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And I started really tapping into just the organic things about myself. Like, what do I know to be true about me? You know, what do I really like to do? And also, what do I value? And so as I started digging deeper into those things, the answer started to come to me like, okay, maybe you need to write because you've never taken writing seriously, but this could be a thing for you. So look into that, get into that. And I sacrificed. I did things that I didn't necessarily want to do. Like my first writing boot camp, I took the bus from New York to DC, stayed at my friend's house, rented a car for 24 hours, drove to this boot camp because it wasn't exactly in DC, and did this all day boot camp and went back to work on Monday because I said, you said you wanted to switch things up in your life. You want to be a writer. What are you going to do? You can't just sit around and keep thinking about it. You have to make some kind of move to make it happen.
Well, thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone, for coming out this evening.
I had a great time. I hope you guys did as well. You can go to the switchpivotorquit.com website if you want to find out more or keep in touch. Sign up for the email list. I swear I don't spam. You can also follow Switch Pivot or Quit on Instagram and Twitter. It's like SPQ Podcast or something. They said Switch Pivot or Quit was too long. Yeah, I'm always around. So DM me on Instagram. That's where I hang out most times. And thank you again for coming out. I had a lovely evening with you all. Thank you. And thank you to our special guests as well. Thank you. Thank you, ladies.
All right.